And that's why you have these young trees here. So I went to Lycée de Maroua Domayo, and I had a class that was quite similar to this. These are not my students. But if you look at that class, it tells you, gives you an idea of how my classroom was. I want you to take note of the walls and the blackboard behind. But there were lots of other interesting things. And I came across this statement made by a Peace Corps volunteer, Brian Johnson, who worked in Cameroon. He worked in the Northwest Province in a private school. And he says teaching in Cameroon was a challenge. Each of my classes consisted of about 70 teenagers. This, for a writing class, can be brutal when it comes to grading homework. Also, there were no textbooks in class. Thus, flexibility was imperative. Overheads were not available. And making photocopies was something I was never able to do. I used the blackboard and worked on being an animated teacher. Well, it was a challenge for him, and it was a challenge for me too. But as I moved on with my learners, I discovered that it was very important for me to look at teaching not as a challenge, but as an achievement. And we're going to come to that much later. But I must comment that Brian taught in a very luxurious secondary school with 70 students. I had never, and I have never, taught 70 students in all my life as a teacher. Now, he might not have had an interactive whiteboard, is it? He talked about overhead and all of that. When I went to my school, I had this very beautiful interactive whiteboard you can see there. That is what I had. But there were lots of other problems that came. Like I said before, I had come out of school with beautiful ideas about communicative language teaching and the very posh new pedagogic approach that existed in Cameroon at that time. And I went up, I wanted to walk around with my children, my young learners. They were between, like I said, 11, 15, different classes. But many problems I met. The first was the size of the classroom. One of my frustrations in my course here has been on the discussions about large classroom sizes. And everybody talks about 60, 40. And I remember asking once in Richard's class if I was at the right place. Because in this school, for example, I taught, in my first year, I taught a class of 235. And that number reduced to 232 in the second year. And presently, I've been working with teachers in Cameroon, private schools and public primary schools, for my research on writing. And I've actually asked my teachers to, I sent a composition topic and I want the children to write, and I've asked the teachers to assess their writing because I want to see how they assess children's writing. And because I wanted the best three children's writing and the worst three, I had to check, because in the private schools, the teachers have 35 children. I just talked with a teacher in the public primary school. I said, oh, how many children do you have? And he said, well, I have 142. But my colleague has got more. And I did ask him how many more. And, you know, it's very difficult. So I told him, well, just get about 50 random children and work with them, because I can't ask him at this point to evaluate 142 scripts. So the first problem I had was a very large class. And the next thing was that I was in a very geographically difficult part of Cameroon. It is all usually very hot there. It's raining down in the south of Cameroon now. I think the Kenyan Airways crash was partly because of the storm. But in the north of Cameroon, we are still waiting for the first rains around the 20th of May. And then they would go away and come back by June. And temperatures usually go up to about 46 degrees. So I was working with 235 students in a temperature of 46 degrees. And that was really difficult. And all these children could not fit into the classroom. So I had some of them outside. And I could barely walk through in the front and just turn around. And each time I came out, I had chalk all over my body. But so because of that difficulty, I tended to pay more attention to those children who were outside. Now, they felt that because they couldn't find their way into the classroom, I had to give them some more attention. But because the temperatures were not comfortable for me, I had to go out. So it was to their advantage and also to my advantage. And it's interesting that gradually children wanted to be outside the mall because they noticed that I was giving more attention outside. They started coming a bit late and many of them were going outside. So you may, I'm eventually going to talk about the trees, but you may be asking, you may ask me why we went outside. The decision came gradually. We would come to that much later. Another problem I noticed was that, and that's a common problem in Cameroon, children do not have textbooks. It's even worse in other parts. I've been to Ghana and parts of Nigeria where even exercise books are, you know, they're graded. Children know that they're not supposed to write for more than one page today because if that book finishes before the end of the year, father won't buy another book. He doesn't have a means to buy those books. So in a class of about 235 students, I am not sure I had up to 20 textbooks. So how could I use the textbooks with my learners? And we could not move around. So there were no textbooks. The temperatures were really high. And there were lots of students in the class. So the first thing I did was to, well, in the face of this, I was running to a secondary school, but I never thought it was this kind of situation. So I would simply go back and work like the history teachers who would stand there and dictate notes to them in French and then give a few explanations and then off they go. So I thought I could quickly dictate some grammar rules to them. Well, they were really low in English, so nobody understood me. So I went to the textbook, I picked out grammar exercises and taught them very quickly. That was easy to do. And while I was, because it was difficult to turn around, while I spent my time teaching and giving the rules and listening to one or two students, the others were sleeping. And I noticed that it was a waste of time. And the initial enthusiasm I had and that my children, my learners had, gradually started to die down. They had seen a young and energetic teacher who could speak their kind of language, who could dress sometimes like them. That was very rare at the, when I went up there. And they wanted to get the most out of me, but conditions couldn't permit me do that. And I discovered that in using the more traditional approach, I was frustrating my children. I had put a lot of vocabulary into them, a lot of grammar, but it dawned on me when one of my very, very intelligent students told me, "Please, sir," I was flabbergasted to esteem and impetus for a fortnight, however, to my teacher. He had used all the beautiful words, vocabulary items I had given him, but he had not said anything. So it dawned on me that I was wasting my time with these learners, and we needed. And I told myself, they are all going to fail in their exams, so there's no need. I don't have anything to lose. I would rather just let them be interested in English, and they can learn on their own. So like I said before, gradually, because I paid a lot of attention